One device hits store shelves, another device disappears.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The big news from the tech world this morning is, of course, the launch of Apple's iPhone 5, which goes on sale around the world today. But there's also some news about a device that is being taken off the shelves. Walmart will no longer sell the Amazon Kindle just a few months after Target stopped selling it. Our senior business correspondent Bob Moon has the story.
Stores do make a profit when they sell the Kindle for Amazon, but Forrester research analyst Sucharita Mopuru figures there's a bigger downside.
Every unit of a Kindle that you make it easier to sell, that once loyal Walmart customer could slip away.
At the Codex Group, researcher Peter Hildick-Smith thinks the big retailer finally realized delivering its customers to a competitor made no sense. He says the Kindle has helped Amazon grab market share away from Walmart.
You've got an Amazon store in your hand wherever you have your Kindle Fire. You realize that you need to get some more diapers or whatever it happens to be, and it's one click away, and you've got an Amazon sale right there.
Now that two top stores have kicked Amazon out, Forrester's Mopuru says it'll be tougher for the online retailer to take on the hugely popular iPad, which is still being sold by those chains and in Apple's own stores.
If Kindle is going to try to be a competitor to Apple, it needs to have a similar physical store presence, and Walmart and Target, they can't rely on to be those partners.
Some other retailers, including Best Buy and Radio Shack, are still selling the Kindle, at least for now. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
European leaders are meeting in Rome today. The continent has been in a state of relative calm for a couple of weeks, ever since the European Central Bank bought time for troubled nations with a plan to buy up government bonds. So what are those troubled nations talking about now? Marketplace's Stephen Beer joins us live with the answers. Good morning.
Hello, Jeremy.
So what are they talking about today in Rome, Stephen?
Well, what else in the eternal city but the eternal problem of debt, deficit, and the danger of default? Three meetings, as you say, the Irish and the Spanish and the Greek prime ministers. The Greek meeting is going to be interesting. The Greek prime minister will no doubt be explaining his difficulty making the budget cuts required in return for his country's latest bailout. He revealed yesterday that he can't get all the members of his coalition government to agree the latest cuts. So, as ever, Greece on a collision course with its creditors, Greece remains the country most likely to get forced out of the Eurozone.
But what about Spain? We've heard a lot more talk about Spain recently and about whether there might be a bailout coming for that country.
Yes, I mean, this meeting between the Spanish prime minister and his Italian counterpart is going to be the one to watch today. That European Central Bank plan you mentioned, that depends on the country concerned asking for help and accepting certain conditions. Now, Spain has so far refused to do that, regarding it as sort of rather humiliating. But there's a story today that there have been quiet talks in the background that could make it easier for Spain to get the help it needs. Apparently, Spain's been talking to the EU officials about further economic reform that could be construed as accepting new conditions. Now, that story lifted European stock markets this morning. If after his meeting in Rome, the Spanish prime minister denies the story, investors are going to be very disappointed.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher, as Stephen said, in global trading this morning, up 0.3% right now in Frankfurt. Same deal in Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 18 points to close at 13,596.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
New census figures show good news and bad news for the state of California. The American Community Survey ranks metropolitan areas by poverty rates, and California is on the list both at the top and at the bottom. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Shireen Marisol Meraji has a tale of two metro areas.
If you live in the San Jose metro area like Stephen Levy, it's the best of times. The poverty rate is one of the lowest in the country.
Right now, the San Jose metro area is adding jobs at a very fast pace.
Levy directs the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy, and he says highly skilled, highly educated workers have got it made. The San Jose metro area is better known by its nickname, Silicon Valley. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. It pays to work in tech.
The San Jose metro area is either the highest average wage area in the nation or in New York.
According to the new Census Community Survey estimates, the median household income for Levy's region is $84,000 a year, $20,000 more than the New York metro area. The median household income for Fresno's metro area is half that. So, if it's the best of times in San Jose, it's the worst of times in Fresno, and has been since the housing bust. Jim Connell runs a shelter in Fresno that offers free meals. He says he helps a lot of unemployed construction workers and their families.
We're seeing more families come to eat, particularly towards the end of the month when money runs out.
What are they desperate for? What do they want?
They want jobs. People don't like being homeless, contrary to popular belief.
The poverty rate in Fresno's metro area is holding steady at 26%, and there's no sign construction is coming back anytime soon. David Vera is an economics professor at Fresno State. He says it's tough to attract new businesses to a region where one in four people live at or below the poverty line and have little education.
We have not been able to attract the appropriate industry, and we're working on creating the labor force, but it's challenging because as soon as you have educated individuals, they'll move somewhere else.
They could move to San Jose. It's less than 3 hours away, wages are high, and poverty is low. I'm Shereen Marisol Meraji for Marketplace.
And finally, with the latest technology comes the latest physical impairment. Text neck. That's what doctors are calling the pain people are getting from spending too much time slouched back in a chair with their head tilted forward, their shoulders curved, and of course their fingers typing away on a mobile phone. According to CNN, physical therapists advise frequent texters to stand up every 20 minutes, roll your shoulders, and maybe take a short walk without your mobile phone. Thank you. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.